Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 4, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, September 4, 2019. I go to work, care for my family, think about crossing the street safely, but at the same time I want to feel how each situation is sent to me by the Creator at every moment. This means not thinking about myself because I think that the Creator does everything, and not that I arrange anything myself. If I don't think of myself, I can think of the Creator. There cannot be two masters in the world, it's either me or him. I worry not about myself, but only about how not to disconnect from the thought that the Creator shapes me at every moment, realizing the purpose of creation. I should sense myself in prayer where I ask nothing for myself but only for the 10. If I pray for the good of the 10, for the unity of friends so they become like the Creator and He is revealed in them, then I am called an emissary of the society and I reach genuine prayer. We must ask the Creator for strength to ascend to the spiritual world. Not the strength to do so on our own, but for the Creator to arrange it Himself. We raise a prayer together, from our connection, from the feeling of helplessness, for what we desire but cannot achieve. We ask the Creator to correct us and shape us in likeness to Himself. Prayer is when we, as a 10, raise a request to the Creator that is heard in the 10's Keter from its Malkhut. The Creator, who is in the 10's Keter, hears this plea, feels this deficiency. We thus awaken the upper force. The answer to our prayer is received from above, the upper light that awakens us. When we awaken the power of the Creator, the force of unity and bestowal, it is victorious. We perceive all the enemies that work against us as the Creator's forces, which He sends against us in order for us to rise above them and become wiser and stronger. What guarantee do we have that unity, based on Kabbalah's method, will not turn into a negative force as it did with Nazism or fascism? In Kabbalah this cannot happen because this method is based on every person and the whole group working together to annul egoism. When we achieve success, we do not sense pride or that we are better than others, on the contrary, we understand that we have to serve them. The method of Kabbalah is completely opposite to Nazism and will never result in feelings of pride or superiority. An opportunity to ask the Creator for help. The wisdom of Kabbalah differs from simple popular blind faith in that it speaks of working during descents, distancing and rejections from the Creator through all kinds of events in our life. We seem to be ready to say that there is none else besides Him. After all, it is right and good that there is just one force that creates everything and controls everything. However, we forget about this as soon as we feel rejection from this force, when we receive all kinds of problems that are supposedly unfair. In addition, it turns out that they were planned by the Creator for each of us in advance, even from the beginning of creation, because everything is predetermined until the end of correction. Therefore, our life is a film that we need to add 620 times more to through our efforts and precisely during the time of distancing. The main work is during the descent. The Creator burdens our path by sending all sorts of troubles, problems, and concealments, placing barriers before us. But we know how to overcome all this, and not for the sake of winning like heroes jumping over all the obstacles. Overcoming means relating all the disturbances and burdening of the heart to the Creator and not asking to cancel them. Disturbances are those degrees that we must climb. Every time a desire to receive grows, a problem appears as an invitation from the Creator to ascend and determine His uniqueness on the higher degree. Therefore, we live from problem to problem, from disappointment to disappointment, from fear to awe. But it is in this that we must see the benevolence of the Creator, who does not leave us, moving us forward. This happens to all the people of Israel in general and to every single person advancing to one's completely corrected state. It is during the descents that we have the opportunity to ask the Creator for help. It turns out that descents are states when the creator invites a person to come closer precisely through overcoming confusions and disturbances intended to separate us from the creator. If despite all the disturbances we declare that they come from the creator in order for us to ask him for help to rise above the disturbances toward even greater adhesion, then the disturbances turn into means for connection, into this glue with which we adhere to the creator. It turns out that disturbances were help, leading to a request in response to which a person received from the creator the force of bestowal, faith above reason, above disturbances. Thus, one advanced. Therefore, our work consists of being joyful for the disturbances as an opportunity to ask the Creator to bring us closer to Him. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 24th of August 2019, there is none else besides Him. Back to school and bullying. From my Facebook page, Michael Lateman, September 4, 2019. Bullying in the classroom begins outside the school walls. As the school year opened, the sore wound of the bullying phenomenon opened along with it. Yes, it happens everywhere, and many children live in social isolation and suffer from bullying and insults for months or years. They will carry the internal scars with them for many years into their future. Parents, if they even know what is going on, are helpless in the face of a system that often silences the issue in order to maintain a good reputation. It is true that bullying has always existed, even when I was a child, but in our day and age, the phenomenon has become extremely worrying. The endless harassment breaks through the classroom walls and haunts the bullied child all the way from classroom to his mobile device. So there is nowhere to escape and find some peace and comfort. It typically starts from a single child, the leader of the attack, a child who likes to control everyone and who is considered popular among his peers. Why is he doing this? Because he enjoys the satisfaction of being above someone else, so he degrades another child and organizes the whole class against him. However, the child is following his own internal urges as well as the examples he is absorbing from all directions, whether it's reality shows, YouTube videos, or the adults he is looking up to. Since our lives have become so filled with power games of pride and control, we shouldn't wonder why kids are behaving the same way nowadays. We did not form a good enough environment for them. We did not pay enough attention, or provide the right education so as to nurture healthy, positive connections between them, and now the bitter results are coming back to bite us, mainly in the form of bullying. So how can we deal with all this bullying? First of all, talk to the leader and explain what a terrible injustice he is doing to others and to himself. Equally important is to talk to those who follow the leader so that they do stop give power and fuel to the leader. We have to organize the power of many to counter the power of that leader. Why? Because young children instinctively understand what is good for me or bad for me, and a child who tries to initiate an attack and sees that it is not going well or even working to his detriment, will stop trying of his own accord. With older children you can chat. You can show them how they, too, could remain on their own if they continue down this road of bullying. So if they have a desire to attract others around them, they should be positive leaders that everyone wants to follow and imitate. But instead of finding ourselves looking for ways to combat bullying at school, it's much better to treat the disease at the root before it spreads by building a healthy social environment for children from an early age. To make positive social relationships the center of attention in our educational programs, rather than individualistic success. And the sooner we do it, the less bullying we will see. Michael Lateman, on Quora, will the Amazon fires have a significant effect on climate change? The Amazon fires won't have a significant effect on climate change. In order to understand whether nature will act toward us positively or negatively heading into the future, we need to understand how we influence nature, and how nature reacts to our influence. Contrary to the opinion that we influence nature through our external actions on nature itself, such as the waste and pollution we inflict upon our environment, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, such actions are not the ones that lead to all kinds of natural disasters and crises. What leads to natural disasters and crises is solely at the human level, in our connections. At the level of our thoughts, attitudes and behaviors toward each other, we cause ripples throughout human society and nature reacts to us according to how we relate to each other. If we relate positively to each other, aiming to positively connect with each other, then we will experience positive reactions from nature. If we relate negatively to each other, aiming to harm and exploit each other for personal benefit, then we will experience negative reactions from nature. This is what we currently experience. Nature is organized according to four levels: still, vegetative, animate and human. If we delay our correction in establishing positive connections among us, starting from not harming each other to endlessly improving our connections, then we will experience more and more negative effects upon us from nature. For instance, if we fail to correct our relations at the still level, which for the time being can be interpreted as not working on the hatred toward others that surfaces in us, there will be disruptions in nature at the still level, such as earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Likewise, if we fail to correct our relations at the vegetative level, which can be interpreted as failing to stop ourselves from harming others, then there will be problems at the vegetative level, such as fires. If we fail to correct ourselves at the animal level, that is allowing ourselves to slip into wars and conflicts, then we will find problems on the animal level, such as extinctions of certain species, as well as the resurfacing of past diseases and new diseases. Nature's positive or negative reaction to us in the future depends on how much we activate our human ability, that is, our ability to connect to each other above our divisive egoistic drives. Accordingly, when we see the complete system of a person as a small world and the world as our encasing environment, then we will see the level of integration that we humans need to have with the world, that our attitudes to each other need to undergo an upgrade, to become considerate and positively connected as a replacement for the currently antagonistic egoism that's growing within us and increasingly dividing us. Then, according to the integration of the still, vegetative, animate and human levels within us, between us, with the environment and with nature's complete system that envelops us, we will experience either harmony if we realize positive human connections, or crises and blows if we don't. Slave of the Creator. Question. There is such a concept, being a slave of the Creator. But the quality of the Creator is a quality of bestowal and love. If you are in it, is it a free state or not? Answer: free, of course. Question. Why then is it called slave? Answer: because you chose this state for yourself. You, yourself have chosen it. From Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, May 12, 2019. New Life Number 1140. Finding Purpose in a New Approach to Life.
Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about destiny. We'd like to understand how can a person find his destiny in life in order to realize his full potential in life. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, many people are looking for their destiny. They get up in the morning and they feel that they can't keep doing the same things without really understanding who they are and discovering their true potential, their destiny. We know that from childhood, every child has a different inclination. Some are more inclined towards science, some towards sports, and so on. Every person really knows that he has special traits and qualities, and today people don't want to compromise. They want to find their true destiny, their true meaning in life. They feel that they're called upon to do something true, something great. And unfortunately, many people don't find their destiny. They feel unsatisfied, discontent, because finding your destiny and being happy are things that are very intertwined. And we'd like to ask, does everything in life, does everything in nature, does every person have a destiny of their own? What is the destiny of any beast? Animals, you mean? Yeah. Any living being. We know that every animal in nature has its role. There are symbioses, there are bees that have a special role, meaning nature depends on all of its parts. Meaning that everyone lives in order to support themselves, sustain themselves, and multiply. But they also have a role. People don't know about their role. This is how it is. This is how people lived for thousands of years, for hundreds of thousands of years. And all in all, they didn't really ask questions. But this is life. I'm alive. That's it. My father was a farmer. I'll be a farmer. My father's a blacksmith, I'll be a blacksmith, and so on. Meaning, there was no question, not in terms of a person's profession, in terms of where am I going to live, how am I going to live. Everything was clear. Suddenly in the 20th or even in the 19th century, but especially in the 20th century, started this entire balagan, this big mess. It's unclear what's going on. People want to change professions. Industry began. So people disconnected from their rural life and they started moving, heading towards the cities, factories. Scientists started to discover different phenomena, universities and so on. A completely new life. We went into this and then the problem began. Before that, there was no such problem. Everyone was in their place. But then came the question about destiny. Who do you want to be? Where do you want to live? Who are you even going to marry? What kind of family do you want? Meaning, things that previously no one asked about. What, isn't it clear who I'm going to marry? Some girl from my village, from the neighboring village. Is it not clear who I'm going to be? If my father's a blacksmith, I'll be a blacksmith. If my father works the land, so will I. This is how things were. No, your destiny. Meaning that everyone started to feel from within, because our ego, because our will to receive, is growing and is demanding greater fulfillment, more realization, then everyone starts asking, what do I want to be? I look at this, no, I don't want this, I don't want that, yes, no. Also, today, you have different tests. You're a psychologist. You should tell. Meaning, what are a person's abilities? There are entire institutes for it. There's an entire industry around it. And how to direct that person, how to prepare him, how to guide him. My grandchild, next year, is going to the university. So, he's been taking different courses, special courses for several years now, studying math from dusk till dawn. it became such a big thing. Why? Because our ego demands its realization. We need to find our destiny. And it's fine. It's very good. Only in the meantime, our destiny was related to our profession, the kind of family we'll have, the life that we'll live more or less. And still, it was unique. Someone went in direction of culture, someone in direction of education, someone in direction of science or something else. And today, it's all coming to an end. For the past few dozens of years, there was this period, but it ended somewhere around the 70s, 80s. And also today, it depends on what realm in life we're talking about, but actually, the matter of destiny is over, because all the professions, their boundaries are kind of dissipating. Everything today is through the internet, computers, machines. There aren't many professions left besides programming computers and have some machine working instead of us. And so what is our destiny? We're as if left empty-handed, but along with it, with a big question. What will become of me? Either I'll sit at home with my mobile, so this way we can really drive ourselves nuts and to go back to being farmers, or not. So life won't allow us to do it, but we will really have to choose what our correct destiny is and scrutinize it. And then we'll discover that our destiny isn't for us in this short life of ours to be engaged in tiny, simple things. I'm an artist, and I'm a musician, and I write, and he's that, and 1,000 different professions, but all in all, as it says, go and provide for each other. There's no need for it anymore. There are 8 billion people in the world, and there's no need for them in this way anymore. But there is a different kind of need. To deal with destiny on a different level, that a person's destiny or people's destiny in this world is to connect above this ego, to connect with one another above their ego, and in that connection to find life on a new level. Not a rural life like it used to be, and not like today where we're in a modern jungle, but on a spiritual level. And a spiritual level being what? That it's not that important to me what are the corporeal conditions and limitations that I'm in, but what's important to me is to what extent or the extent to which I'm living a spiritual life. And spiritual isn't something cultural, or it's not about music or philosophy, but it's something that's above nature. Nature means corporeality, and spirituality is what's above nature. Corporeality are the egoistic forces of reception, and spirituality means the forces of giving, of bestowal, altruistic forces. So we'll need to both be in this world with our ordinary forces, with the ordinary forces of our ego, and also to be above it on the next level. And whether we want it or not, this is what nature is advancing us toward. And therefore, we passed our destiny in the, let's call it, industrial world, and then in the modern world, that's coming to an end. And all the new generations, X, Y, Z, and so on and so forth, alpha, beta, I don't know how to count them anymore. All this is already a generation that has no destiny within the boundaries or framework of this world. The only thing that they have left in this world is to play until they'll see this game as something empty, and they'll also feel that drugs are actually empty, that it doesn't suit me to disconnect, to detach, because by this actually I kill myself, I disconnect. And then they'll truly feel a need to find their true destiny, which is really rising to the next level of our existence. This more advanced degree, you described it as living and giving, an altruistic kind of life. Yeah. So, first of all, this is the first condition, that in order to realize a person's great destiny in life, first of all, he has to be in direction of the bestowal of giving. Okay. Now, within the realm of giving, a person can find many things, but it's not necessarily that they're truly his. Maybe Tal's bestowal or giving is in being a teacher to many people. Maybe her destiny is in being something else. Within the realm of bestowal, how can she really know what does it mean to be Tal? Or how can I find what does it mean to really be Owen so that I'll feel that I'm realizing my unique potential that nature gave me? How can each individual find his unique potential in order to realize his ability to bestow in the best possible way? First of all, does everyone have their own true destiny? Yes. And the second thing is, how can I feel that I'm realizing my own destiny and not someone else's? I'll explain. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains that the entire world was created from a great crisis, shattering, breaking, where all the parts of our world, they're all egoistic. They pull to themselves. This is how the forces of nature always are, to receive more and more and more. And even though that in our life it's called that I add and add to myself, but in the wisdom of Kabbalah these are considered negative forces actually and not positive ones. And there is a different reality, an opposite reality. Or you can call it gray matter, gray energy. And you have different such things. Those that are engaged in astronomy and in space science and so on, they have these things. But the wisdom of Kabbalah is above all that. But still, there is something that's the very opposite, that only now in science we're starting to discover it, but its external form. We won't be able to discover its inner form, because it's something that we can discover only by our inner forces, by our inner human forces. And here we're reaching a state where there is also the opposite force, which is the force of bestowal, besides the force of reception. And if we feel inside ourselves that we want to discover the force of bestowal, there are people that feel that this is their destiny. What does bestowal mean? Giving, connecting above the ego, which is the other half of nature. Okay, so if we feel an internal inclination to reveal the force of bestowal in connection, what then? Then I have a different destiny than others. Then I get together with other such people, that this is actually what our organization is about. And then we connect these people, and in a connection that isn't based on the forces of reception, but on the forces of bestowal, where people wish to achieve bestowal, to come out of their ego, to rise above it, because inside my ego, I'm locked in on the animate level, like an animal. I'm all the time thinking about how to receive and receive, and my entire life is only about how can I feel a bit better. Once we rise a bit above this and start seeing our life, not from within this body, but that I'll see my life from above my body. What can things be like then if I see it from above the body, from outside of the body? And then we can do these kinds of exercises and reach this kind of vision where I'm free of my body, even though that I still live within my corporeal animate body. I eat, drink, work, have a family, kids, and everything. And along with it, I can feel a higher reality. This higher reality, it's actually either you think only about yourself and receive everything only for yourself, or that I'm in giving and bestow to others. Yeah? So in this bestow, how can I find my special destiny and Tal and so on? It's for people who have this kind of inclination. My question is, how do they find it? For this, there's a method that's been around for thousands of years, and it is at the essence of the people of Israel. We haven't been using it for thousands of years. That helps a person to find his special destiny within giving. Yes. And what does it give us? You balance your relationship. How much everyone receives, how much everyone gives, because without receiving, you don't have connection either. It's not just giving, everyone pushes something to someone else, and that's it. That's obvious. But we reach a balanced system where the forces of reception and the forces of bestowal are in balance, and then the system is in balance, and it starts disclosing the general force of balance that exists in it, by which everyone starts feeling the entire system, and not only themselves. And then people come closer and closer together in mutuality in such a way where everyone loses their sense of self. Why? Because instead of that, a person feels the entire system as his own. A mom and her family, she feels that she loses her sense of self just a bit. She's like inside the entire family. Through devotion? Yeah, through devotion. And then she like expands. I am my entire family. Right. So when a person realizes himself in direction of bestowal, he comes out of his small little boundaries and opens up like a mom to her entire family. This is how we are towards the entire world. If a person starts aspiring and working in this direction, he starts feeling what his special destiny in the giving is. Yes. And then I find my special destiny and Tal finds hers, and no one stands in the way of anyone else, and everyone has an entire world. Paulo Coelho said that if a person wants to find his destiny, the entire universe comes to his help. Is it really so, or is it only a metaphor? It's really so. How can a person feel that the universe is helping him? How? He should start advancing toward the universe and see how the universe is coming to his help. How can we see that in what? In giving. That you want to benefit everyone, that this is how you want to think about everyone, you want to connect with everyone, then you'll feel how it's all headed in your favor, for your sake. Does a person's bestowal have an expression not only in the unseen hidden realm, but also in the revealed corporeal realm? No, it's all a matter of feeling. You're a psychologist. Where can you see it? You can't pick it up by different devices. In society, you can. There's a phenomenon that lately I met many people. They had a career, made lots of money, status, and everything, as if everything was perfect. And then they felt that they're not realizing themselves. And they left. Very good positions, money, and so on. And start doing things where maybe they make much less money, but they feel that they're realizing themselves. Many people around the age of 40 leave high-tech. They work there for 15, 20 years. Everything's fine, but they feel that it can't be that this is what life's all about. For example, I met a few guys that went to launch a new startup, the idea of which is to create something good in the world, without getting into details because there are many such startups, but they as if left a world that's all organized and good, and they want to build something from scratch. Why? Because they want to do good. They don't know whether they'll succeed or not. No one pays them for it. Maybe they'll succeed and make money, but they're not doing it for money. They feel that with all the knowledge that they've acquired in programming and so on, you can build destructive things, you can build good things. They went in the direction of education to help kids develop. What does this mean in regard to a person's destiny? This feeling that we're living in order to do something good for others, I see that it's growing. Why? It's the matter of the generation. Like I said, that after all these generations, X, Y, Z, alpha, beta, and so on, we reach a state where it can no longer satisfy us. We have enough food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. This isn't what's important. What's important is that I'm unsatisfied. My will to receive, my ego, has evolved beyond all of these corporeal lusts, and I simply don't want them. I see that I can't escape them, and for me they're like a prison. They keep me chained, and I can't do anything. And if I can escape them, all the more. The question is, if a person escapes them and does not realize his role here in society or something and says, I'm going to develop myself in spiritual realms, isn't it escaping reality? We're in a transitional phase, so we're looking one way or another, but these are very special times that we see that the younger generation, they're losing interest in the corporeal life and how our fathers used to be. So previously it was computers, technology, before that there was agriculture and so on. Today, many people teach on the internet, create different projects together. This is all fading away. People are doing it. They are. But it already lost its attraction. If I understand how you measure whether a person is in direction of finding his destiny or not, it's not about what he's doing. Maybe he's a doctor, teacher, plumber. But what it's about is, what is his attitude toward it? Does he do it in order to absorb the satisfaction in words, or he wants to be in giving, bestowed towards to others? And it doesn't really matter what will he choose to do, but what determines whether it will satisfy him or not is whether it's directed only in words within his small boundaries, or like a mother that he comes out and bestows to others. Is this right? Yes, but there are many more things to it. We have 2 minutes left. Every person has a destiny. Yes. If he wants to find it, it has to be in the direction of giving. Yes, but yes. Does the universe help those that want to find their destiny and direction of bestowal? Yes. So how can I find these signs that the universe is giving me? You have to find a society that will help you do it. And what then? By finding your place in such a society that's correctly advancing toward the realization of the human degree in this world, which is a society of Kabbalists, then by that you can find a paved path, and it's not simple. Still, you'll have to enter that society, integrate in it, give up your sense of self, do many things. And then you reach your realization. Everyone's realization is to make an integral system out of mankind, just like the whole of nature is, so that also mankind will enter nature, will integrate in it, will identify with it, and will reach adhesion and connection with the whole of nature. This is the destiny of each of us in particular and of all of us together. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.